Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace. Today we come to the shortest verse in John's first epistle. It is chapter 4 and verse 19, and it says, "We love him because he first loved us." It's a simple text. It's a profound text. It deals with a popular subject, the subject of love, one of the most popular subjects in all of Christian doctrine. It deals with God's love, and that's the subject that a lot of people want to emphasize, and many even overemphasize, simply by emphasizing it to the neglect of other important truths. But nevertheless, this is true. God is love, and that's what this is dealing with. We love him because he first loved us. It's talking about the love of God. And yet, for all of that, this is a text with a searching truth. It gives us a true understanding of love. It tells us about the origin of love, the enabling of love, and the effects of love, both God's love and man's love. It tells us where is the fountainhead of love, and it condenses and summarizes much of John's teaching on the subject of love. And John is the apostle of love, and he says more about love than anybody else in all the Bible. And in this first epistle of John of five chapters, three of them contain sections on the subject of love. Chapter 2, Chapter 3, and Chapter 4. And Chapter 4 is the longest section of all. We love him because he first loved us. That's a text to think about, and we'll do that on this Tuesday, November 20. We're glad you've been able to join us today, and we're so very, very grateful for those listeners who have helped us financially, and also those who would consider doing so in the future. We have such wonderful opportunities. Regularly, we get invitations to add our broadcast to additional radio stations, and we just can't do it financially. We're determined to operate on a sound financial basis, but as the Lord supplies funds, we are delighted to be able to branch out, and maybe God would have you help us to do exactly that. Well, let's consider first of all the text. We love him because he first loved us. This talks about the practice of love and the priority of love and the particularity of love. What does it say about the practice of love? This is an amazing declaration. It's a declaration that God loves, and it's a declaration that we love. As far as I know, the biblical God, who is, of course, the only one true God, is the only God that is characterized as being a loving God. I haven't read anything that makes me think that the God that Muslims worship is a loving God, that he's characterized by love. And I don't think that there are many other religions that have a concept of God where God is love, but the Christian God, the biblical God, who those of us who believe in Jesus Christ are completely convinced is the only true God, that God is a God who loves. We love him because he first loved us. That's an amazing statement. We are talking about a God who loves, and we love because He loved. We love. We love Him because He first loved us, but many of the manuscripts don't have the hymn. There's no object. It just simply says, we love because He first loved us. That would seem to follow in the context. You remember, we just spent several days dealing with the concept of love and fear and how those two things relate together. And love and assurance and love and confidence, all of that is related to fear. And the importance of developing love in our lives. And this text shouldn't be separated from the two that go before it. When we read in verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We get to that point and we might be saying, well, how do I strengthen my love? How do I help love to be perfected in my life? And we come right smack dab to this statement. We love because He first loved us. So it points us in the right direction. If we're going to strengthen our love, if we love as we should, it's because He first loved us. If we love more than we love now, it's because we realize He first loved us, and there's a connection there. There's a relationship between those two statements. There's something about our love, our capacity to love, our measure of love, our ability to love more. There's something about that that's related to the fact that God loved us first. The attention is on God. We love because He first loved us. The practice of love. This also tells us about the priority of love. And that is simply to say that God's love is first. He took the initiative. Our love is second, and ours is in response to His. God loved, past tense. He doesn't say God loves, though that is true. With God, there is no past, present, and future, and God's very character, His very nature is love. God is love. So He does love now, and He will love tomorrow. We see things that way in terms of past, present, and future. But the text is talking about His love in the past, a past event. You might say, well, that must have to do with His loving me before I was saved and the love that brought me to Christ, and I'm sure that's included, but I think we need to take it back a lot farther than that. I think this is talking about the eternal counsels of God before He created anything. God loved. God is love. John told us that. And now he tells us that God first loved. God loved before there was anything we might say to love. But of course, in the mind of God, everything that was to be was already. He is in the eternal present. With God, there is no time. There is no past, present, and future. It is all an eternal present. And so even if He hadn't created anything yet, He was getting ready to create the worlds, getting ready to create the human race, getting ready to create a world full of men and women. All of that was in the mind of God, and God first loved us. We love, and that's in the present tense, because God first loved us. God's love is first. God's love is prior. He took the initiative in regard to love. We love in response to His love. We love second. God loved first. We love, and that is present tense, and that is present love, and that is present progressive, ongoing. We, it could be translated, we are loving. We are loving because he first loved us. It is a simple text. It is a short text. It is a lovely text and an encouraging text, but the more we think about it, it is a profound text. It really is. But we move from the priority of love, which obviously means it began with God. He is the fountainhead of love. He is the origin of love. But we move to another aspect, and that's what I have called the particularity of love, because according to this text, we are loving him, we are loving it all, because he first loved, and now there is an object. He loved us. We love, and whether the him is there or not depends on which manuscript you are consulting, we love and are loving because he first loved us. Not we love because he first loved, that's what we might expect this to say, but we love because he first loved us. There is something added here that's very important, and this is talking about God's love to the people of God. And I've talked about that before on this broadcast. It's not a new thought to those of you who listen to this broadcast regularly, but it is a new thought to a lot of God's people who haven't heard this before, because the general concept and erroneous concept that's abroad in the world is that God has an overwhelming love, an amazing love, an infinite love, an incredible love, everything you can say about it. But the idea is it's this vast ocean of love which he has for everybody equally and alike. And that's not what this text is indicating. This text is indicating a particularity in the love of God. We love him, we love at all, we love anybody because he first loved us. And though there is a love of God toward everyone, and we've talked about that before, it's not the same kind of love, not the same quality of love. There is a love to the people of God that is different for God's love to those who are not his people. Different degree of love, you might say. And this is talking about a high degree of love that is sovereignly bestowed as it pleases him. And if you love, if you have anything of divine love within you, on a capacity to love him, we love him because he first loved us. If that is true of you, and you know it's true of you, that you do love him, then you need to understand it's because God in infinite and matchless grace worked sovereignly in your life when you were unlovely and unable to love him or anyone in any real sense of biblical love, and he created that capacity within you with a particularity of his love that was set upon you, and because of that, you now love him and you now love others. Think about that. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.